Good morning, church family. So good to be here on this first Sunday of Advent, and we are very grateful to have all of us here together. And I want to start by thanking those of you who have been praying for me, sending cards, giving me words of encouragement over these last 2 months as I've been dealing with the cataract surgery. So, Jen, you can see I have my progressives now. Yay. So I can actually read and see all your faces at the same time. So I want to start by thanking all of you for your faithfulness in praying for me. Would you bow in prayer as we open up God's word and share about God's faithfulness? Lord God, we thank you that you are a faithful God. And we thank you for this season of Advent, especially when we can celebrate with hope and expectation the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, as I share what you have laid on my heart, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. As Pastor Sharon and Pastor Chris have told us, this is the first Sunday of the four Sundays of Advent. It is a season when we prepare our hearts and our spirits for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a season of hope and expectation of joy. And I have appreciated this quote that I came across years ago that says, "In this season, we joyfully, expectantly remember that Christ has come in the flesh, that he is here with us now in 2023, and that he will come in power and glory." And all of that, his birth, his presence with us today, and his coming glory can be wrapped up in the hopeful, joyful expectations that we reflect upon during this season of Advent. And like many churches across the world, Christian churches, we use these Advent candles and the lighting of them as a symbol, as a physical way that we can use, especially if you're visual learners like me, that as we light each one of these candles and in the middle of the Christ candle, that we can reflect and remember and have that expectation and joy throughout these four seasons, these four Sundays of this season of Advent. Today we lit what is called the hope candle, and that hope is that we have the hope in our risen Lord. Amen? And then many denominations and churches have this second candle as either faith or love. I like to refer to it as the candle of faith, that we have that faith that Christ will come again. And we celebrate that even as we celebrate his birth. The third candle is joy, this joyful anticipation we have at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. And finally, peace, shalom. You know, and sometimes when we think of peace, we think of our emotions. You know, I just want peace. I want my emotions to be settled, of no conflict. But the peace that this candle represents for us as Christians is the shalom. That now, as we think of God's shaloms in our own lives, and as we look ahead to his coming, we have that confidence, that hope, that assurance that all that is wrong with this world, in our lives and in this world at large, will someday be right again. Hallelujah. And so we joyfully, expectantly celebrate all of that in this season of Advent and over these next four Sundays. So as I was having reflection on these four, outside candles, that hope, faith, joy, and peace. And that's where I was reflecting on those as I was preparing my own heart for this season of Advent. I couldn't help but think about what it was that allowed us to have all of that rejoicing and that expectation in the season of Advent. And I turn to the fact that it's because of God and who He is, those unchangeable, immutable characteristics that he is, who He is, was, and will always be. Things like His holiness, His mercy, His sovereignty. But most of all for me, and what I'd like to share about today that I really resonates in my heart this holiday season, is God's faithfulness. God's very name, as we learn in Revelation, is faithful. His very essence, not something that's changing, not something that is dependent upon us, but God's name, His very essence, His attributes, His qualities, His qualities in His holiness, is that He is a faithful God. And so the message I'd like to leave with you today, I'll start with, because God is faithful, we have the hope, the joy, the faith, and the peace this season of Advent. So let's spend some time this morning talking about God's faithfulness. And I thank Jan for reading the Psalms, Psalms 145 today. To set the context, Psalms 145 is a hymn of praise written by David. And he says in that very first verse, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever." So it's a hymn of praise to the Lord, our great King. And what's interesting, if you remember what Jan read in the very last verse of the psalm, he ends with that same idea of exalting and praising the name of our great God and King. So we have everything that I'm going to be sharing today about God's faithfulness bookend between those two verses. Praising God for this great King that He is, with all of His attributes, all of His qualities, and then ending with that same sentiment, with that same understanding. Let's turn then now to looking again at a few of the verses that Jan read for us, specifically verse 13. It's one of those verses in my lifetime that have stood out to me because it speaks to God's faithfulness. "Your kingdom, O God, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion," meaning God's rule, "endures through all generations. The Lord," and here the Lord is the great I am, the great I am that set the universe, created the universe, that sustains it every day by the strength and power of His word, the great I am that is present with us. So the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. What a verse of confidence and assurance of God's faithfulness. And paired with that is a verse out of Deuteronomy that has also been very meaningful to me that I'd like to share with you, is in Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, to those who love Him and keep His commands." He's a faithful God back in the day, and He's a faithful God to us now, and He will be a faithful God in as long as we are on this earth and eternity and beyond with Him. God is faithful, and He's a faithful God to us again here in 2023. You know, sometimes I think we look at these scriptures and so I can see why God and how God was faithful back in the day, back in all these scriptures. But I want to bring it to us here today, in this season of Advent, where you are with all the experiences that you are going through right now in your life. I will say to you, as Scripture says to me, God is faithful. And what a time in history of my life to be remembering this Advent season that God is faithful. Look at the world around us. There is a great deal of suffering in this world. There are wars that are going on. There are children still and those in developing nations that are still starving, this world that we live in as a broken world. And yet we can testify to God and his faithfulness. The country that we live in has its share of issues. We are still divided along all kinds of lines. All you have to do is look in the newspaper or your Google feed to see that the United States still is a country trying to find itself through all that we've gone through in the last years especially. But then bring it down to you personally. You know, you may be here this morning experiencing the loss of a family member or a loss of a relationship. You may be struggling with your own health. You may have all of those conditions that the human frailty has may be represented by one of us in this room today. This is the world in 2023 that we live in. So against that backdrop, I think it is very significant this Advent season to remind ourselves, even in the midst of those circumstances, worldwide and personal, that God is faithful. His very name is faithful. So why is that significant? Because if you look so much outward, or in even in your own individual struggles, it can be overwhelming. But I assure you this day that we can have confidence regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what our emotions might be telling us today, that God is faithful. And it's that assurance and that confidence that we can carry with us every day of our lives in this crazy world of 2023 that we all live in. And so it's that assurance that we can use as we reflect upon this Advent season about the hope and the faith and the joy and the peace that is ours as Christians, regardless of these circumstances and in the midst of these circumstances. And why can I say that? For two reasons. Our source of our confidence is not in ourselves. It is in an unchangeable God. As it says in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, the great I am, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Theologically, we call that his immutability. But the bottom line is he doesn't change. Be assured that your confidence is not amiss. It's not out of line with where you are in your lives right now. Because, and foremost, represented as we think of our Advent season, God does not change. And secondly, his faithfulness is not conditional on our faithfulness to him. Sometimes I think that as I've walked through this life and have ministered to other people, because of their own shortcomings and sin that all of us have, that I have, that we sometimes get the impression that because I'm not faithful in this Christian life, that I'm doomed not to have that assurance and comfort of knowing God is faithful. And I am here to tell you and assure you as a pastor, as a fellow Christian sister in the Lord, that his faithfulness is not conditional on us. We are loved unconditionally. And the verse that I love to think about when I think about this whole area of, I'm struggling. Is God still going to be faithful to me while I'm in the midst of struggling and trying to sort all this out? Or if I'm in pain, physical pain, or if I'm in grief and loss? And his words in 2 Timothy 2:13 say, if we are faithless, what does he do? He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And sometimes in life, I felt like this Igor, where I had this rock, and I had my fingers clutched to it, and all I could get above was my nose, if you remember Igor of years ago. Yeah, sometimes it's just that rock of knowing that God is faithful, and I can stand firm. I can clutch firm, if that's where you are, to his faithfulness. So if I had to put that verse in my own words, it would be, God cannot change who he is, whether I'm faithful or not. He always, always will be. But if you're like me and some of your life experiences, we would wish that God would show his faithfulness like on the dime, in the moment. You want it now, right? It's not fun going through some of the struggles in this life and wanting to see God's faithfulness to us. But I like to call it God's divine delay, or his timetable is not my timetable. I think of scripturally Abraham and Sarah, and there are lots of examples, but I'm going to pick that one today to share. God had made a covenant with Abraham that he would be the father of nations and father to thousands. Is what is it, Pastor? The stars in this? As many as the stars in the sky. Right. And here he is at 100 with zero children, zero children to have this covenant. 100 years old. Sarah, 99, well past the age of childbearing. Oh, I'm not 100 yet. And so I don't have to wait till I'm 100. But can you just imagine? God's timetable and ours in demonstrating his faithfulness may or may not be on the same page. But yet I assure you today, take this with you, that God is faithful. His very name is faithful. Many of you might remember that earlier in the spring, I shared a sermon on the first 12 verses of this passage. And in it, it talked about generation to generation passing on our stories of God's mighty works in our lives. And so I'd like to do that for you today again, to share that it's not just Abraham and Sarah in the Bible, but it's here and now in our lives that God is faithful. When I was 30 years old, I got a cancer diagnosis. I had melanoma cancer, and I railed at God. It was like a 30-year-old throwing a 2-year-old temper tantrum. Why are you doing this to me, God? How is this possible? This can't be right. God, are you sure? Do you realize that I am 30 years old, and here I have cancer? Are you kidding me, God? Now, I wouldn't recommend that any of you, like, shake your fist at God the way I did. But that was the reality of what I was experiencing, just struggling with this diagnosis of cancer. As I processed that diagnosis and processed my anger and my frustration and my questioning, as I went through that period of time in my life, and settled down and began to stand on the truths that I knew to be true, I learned something that I've shared with many of you, that as soon as I can turn the why question into the what questions, that God's peace and presence were much more evident to me that I could experience. And I turned those why questions into what? What is this experience in my life teaching me about you, God? What is this experience in my life teaching me about who I am? And what, if anything, in my life do I need to change to be more reflective of your character in me and who you want me to become? And even though I settled all of that many, many, many years ago, there was one lingering what question that didn't shake my faith. That had all been settled during that time of tantrum and realignment, that time of lament that we've talked about, where you end up praising God. When that was all settled, this one question still remained in my mind. What good could possibly come from me experiencing cancer and being a cancer survivor? I couldn't imagine in my timetable how any good could come from that. And over the years, I'd had a chance to share God's faithfulness in healing me and his presence, even in the midst of something so traumatic for a 30-year-old. But it still lingered. What good can come from this in your timetable and for your glory? Fast forward with me over 2.5 decades of my life. And I found myself in Uganda as a missionary, serving with my dear friends who are guests here today of us, Robert and Jillian and their children, Roy and Bernice. And while I was serving with Jillian in the Focus, which is a campus ministry, when my job was done during the day, I decided to go and visit patients at Mulago Hospital, which is a state-run hospital there in Kampala, Uganda. And when you walked into the floor where I was allowed to visit, there was an aisle like this. And on each side was bed after bed, about as far apart as two of these pews together, then a space, then two, side to side through the whole aisle. No doors, no walls in between. Don't think of a hospital that we have here in the United States. And so I would go there because I felt called of God to be ministering to the patients. Many of you know that I later became a chaplain with hospital ministry. And so this was part of my ministry, part of my heart. And so I would go, and sometimes a Ugandan would go with me in case there was a language barrier. And at that time, hospital would only provide one cup of porridge per day per patient. And porridge, the closest I can come up with is like really watered down oatmeal that you drink out of a cup. It's not exactly what it is, but that was it. That was the sustenance. And so we would oftentimes, when we were permitted with the patients, to give them some food and just some visitation. The doctors, and I will say, and I think Robert and Jillian will support me on this, the doctors did the best they could with the resources limited that the state would provide. And on this one particular day, I was visiting with one of the patients there at Mulago, and she had cancer. She was from the bush out in the country. Her family was not with her. Traveling is very difficult, expensive in Uganda. And so she had been sent to Mulago, basically to die. You would agree, it's often the last resort of just go away, we'll send you to Mulago, and you won't ever come out of Mulago Hospital. Hopeless? And God sent me there, and I still get teary with this today, to be his hands and his feet and his heart of hope to this young woman. She had never in her life heard of anyone who had survived cancer. And here I was, walking, living person who was a cancer survivor. And it's the first time of hope that God gifted her in an incredibly hopeless situation. And I was able to share my story with her. And not, you know, when you're sharing like that, you're not God. You don't know if God will heal or not heal. But the point is that to give people the hope that comes with what we're celebrating, with the birth of Jesus Christ and salvation. And I prayed with her, and I talked with her, visited with her. And instead of this young woman who was just lifeless in this bed, without anyone visiting her besides an occasional doctor or nurse, with getting one cup of porridge every day, she had a smile on her face. Because the first time she had hope that when she prayed to the Almighty God, that he heard her and he sent me as someone that she could touch and feel and have a human connection with. And she's not the only one that had hope that day. Because you know that light lagging question I had, what good could having cancer possibly have in your timetable, Lord? And I walked out of that hospital redeemed. Took 2.5 decades for God to show his faithfulness, that he can use whatever is happening in our lives, this faithful God, to bring hope and reconciliation and redemption to others. So you may be here today wondering why you can't see a faithful God. And I want to testify to you, it's not your timetable, but his. God is faithful in the time of waiting. He is faithful when you're going through the experiences you're going through. And in some way, beyond anything we can understand or ever know, I'm very grateful that God allowed me to see his faithfulness, his goodness revealed through my life experience into the life of another. Amen. So because time is waning here, I am going to just read quickly Psalms 145 again, this time out of Eugene Patterson's book, or a translation of the Bible called The Message. And it's on the screen here. And I want to ask you to put yourself in any one of these verses that applies, keeping in mind that what starts this whole lineage of God's faithfulness through all these experiences in life provided here in this passage, it starts with God is faithful. So here we go. God is faithful. God gives a hand to those down on their luck, gives a fresh start to those ready to quit. Anybody here ready to quit? Anybody here need to sense God's presence in what seems a hopeless situation? God is faithful. All eyes are on you, expectant. You give them their meals on time. Instead of meals, you might put whatever your needs are. He will give you at his. You can live with expectation that he will provide. He is generous to a fault, this faithful God. You lavish your favor on all creation. Everything God does is right. Even if it doesn't feel like us on an emotional level at the time, God is right. The trademark on all his works is love. God's there listening for all who pray, and mean it. Are you praying today for yourself, your family, this world? He is there. He is listening. You are being heard. He does what's best for those who fear him, hears them call out and saves them. God sticks by all who love him. I know I today need to be reminded that God sticks by all of us who love him, but it's all over for those who don't. And then again, that bookend, praise God for all of these things, and then ending with that, my mouth is filled with God's praise, let everything living bless him. Bless his holy name from now to eternity. So during this Advent season, we can look forward joyfully and expectantly to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We can remember that Christ has come, is here, and will be again in his power and glory. And as we light these Advent candles week by week, because God is faithful, we have that hope and that faith and that joy and that peace of what we are celebrating with the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.